Hello, you're listening to Reedy Geeks, a Walt Disney World podcast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined today by the grilled corn critic, JJ.
I feel pretty okay about that. Corn matters.
I'm missing context there, but maybe that's fine.
And plaid vest skeptic, Sean.
Yeah, don't waste your money.
If you have a good title for my co-host after listening to this episode, please send in your ideas to reedygeeks@gmail.com. In today's episode, the geeks share our MySpace top 8 pre-shows at Walt Disney World. From the very beginning, Walt Disney envisioned his parks as a place where guests would feel transported into another world. Originally, Disneyland used themed lands and queues to set the scene before an attraction, letting the setting itself introduce a story. But as Disney Imagineers continued to innovate, pre-shows evolved into more engaging experiences. They began incorporating videos, special effects, and interactive elements that immerse guests even before they board the ride. Now, pre-shows are more than just a lead-up. They are crucial storytelling moments that pull guests inside the narrative and highlight the excitement for the main event. Today, we're celebrating some of Walt Disney World's most memorable pre-shows and exploring the ways they enrich the magic and build anticipation.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was really good. That was a good lead-up.
You've done this before.
Got me a little excited.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
So we are going to be sharing the Geek's official list, top 8 best pre-shows at Walt Disney World.
I know how those kids love MySpace.
Yes. It's very relevant in today's day and age.
Mm-hmm.
Top 8 is better than top 10.
Well, yeah, I think so too.
I think you have to make some tough decisions with top 8.
Yeah. 10 is too generous.
It is. Yeah.
There were like 11-ish worthy contenders.
Mm-hmm.
So 10... You only have to make one decision.
Right. You have to really analyze these pre-shows and come up with the best ones in order to get down to 8. We actually did have one pre-show that is from a defunct ride that we thought would have been on this list if it was still around today.
Yeah.
And that was the extraterrestrial alien encounter.
Yeah, that was truly terrifying. We got to see the end of poor, was it Sparky?
Skippy.
Poor Skippy.
Yeah, so Sean, you don't remember this, right?
Absolutely no memory of this.
Maybe so, you never saw
it. I don't think I ever did.
Because that ride was like not open all the time. It's kind of hidden. And then it was also so scary. You had a younger sibling. They might not even have been in consideration to go on it.
I don't think I ever rode this.
It was so scary that it quickly went into B mode after like 1 month because it was way too scary.
Wow.
For kids. But in the pre-show, you would watch kind of a small scale experiment of what they're going to do in front of you. And they're taking one animatronic, really cute, like teddy bear like animatronic alien and transporting him into a like cell like right next to him, right? But the whole point was that they were going to take him apart and transport him into that cell. And that
They're showing off like a teleportation experiment that they're working on.
But it goes miserably wrong, and you basically see this poor cute animatronic get fried up, and then they kill him.
Nice.
In front of children.
Good.
I was only a boy. And I left a man. That's a whole crazy ride in general. That whole
experience. Is that what is known as Alien Encounter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Alien Encounter. And then for a brief time, it was Stitch's Great Escape, which did not have a pre-show, to my memory. Stitch's Great Escape was so lame, though.
I've never seen it.
It was not great.
Yeah, I think I did it once.
I definitely saw the alien one, and that scared me.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
All right, well, let's get into our MySpace top 8. And we're going to start on the bottom of the list with number 8, and that's going to be Rockin' Roller Coaster. Basically, this is a movie, and it sets up the story.
Yeah, I think it does a really good job setting the story. And I also would argue that it's not just a movie because it looks like you're right in a recording studio. Yeah. You see, like, Aerosmith's gear. And sure, there is a movie that plays behind it, but they do a good job having the screen look like the control room of a recording studio. And then you get to see all their gear. It's really cool for the music nerd in me to be like, oh, check out this drum kit. Check out this cool guitar. Check out these great scarves.
Well, and that used to be more of a production too. They used to have a cast member in there that would go and grab his guitar when he asked, like, oh, Johnny, can you grab my guitar?
And it was interactive too. Like he said a line back to the the guy that grabs the guitar would also say a line back to one of the agent, right?
Yeah. As well. Are we allowed to say Les Paul on the podcast? Are we allowed to name drop the product?
Yeah.
Doesn't he say, grab my black Les Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the line. Yeah.
Yeah.
For non-music people, is Les Paul like lesser, Les Paul is lesser than Paul? Or
No, it's the name of a man that invented a bunch of guitars.
Okay. Yeah, please cut. I want to go back.
His name is Les Paul. It's his first name and his last name.
Oh.
He invented a bunch of guitars for Gibson.
Okay.
In the 1940s, 50s, 60s.
Well, apparently those were real, like, artifacts. they were actual.
Museum.
they were all real, right? And they kept on coming up missing after a while. You know, thinking cast members maybe took them.
Wait, is that real? Is it serious?
Yeah.
Oh wow,
yeah.
I thought you were.
I knew they were real guitars.
I just thought you were trying to make some really bad joke about like how the guitars are really real, and I was like, no.
They were really from Aerosmith. They donated them guitars and to make it as authentic as possible. But then one by one, they little things here and there started turning up missing. So
interesting. Yeah. I did not know that.
No, I think Rock and Roller Coaster is a fun pre-show that is quotable, immensely
so quotable.
I think we've dropped at least one or two of them.
Wait a minute, I love that idea. Is one of my
episodes, yeah.
Yeah,
one of my favorite drops to use is "Wait a minute, I love that idea," which is from this. Also, the can I get a stretch limo? Wait,
and just like that, the super corny, like, you know how much we care about our fans.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So bad.
Yeah.
How about some backstage passes?
Right. Yeah.
We can't let them down.
Yeah. Immensely corny, but like corny in a very good way.
All right, folks, we gotta go.
Very worthy first entry to the list.
It is. It is. And you know, some of these other pre-shows might be better, but this one is so critical to the ride. Like, if you didn't have this pre-show, it would just be an indoor roller coaster with the no theming.
Yeah, and it would be no better than like a Six Flags ride.
Right.
And actually, arguably, a mediocre Six Flags ride.
Yeah. So, JJ, do you want to take us to number 7?
Sure, I'll start us off with number 7. Number 7 is going to be at Animal Kingdom, and it will be the Flight of Passage. It's just really immersive. You get into that pre-show, you really feel like there's a scientific test being conducted.
Right, but to clarify,
matched with an avatar.
Right, we're not talking about the queue.
No, not the queue.
Because this was a ride that was much higher up on our queues list.
Right.
And it is much lower down on the pre-show list just because there's better when you make the cutoff of what a queue is and what a pre-show is. There are things that just have much better pre-shows than this.
Right. This is where they're trying to genetically map you and match you with an avatar, as well as the video of the very nervous scientist who loves Sigourney Weaver's character.
Yes.
Fly.
And Fly. That guy's a really great actor. I really believe he's like a very nervous scientist.
I thought he was in the movie. I thought they were taking characters from the movie. Yeah.
No, they just hired him for that ride. How crazy is that? But stupendous job by him. Someone give him a raise. He probably made like SAG minimum for a day of work. Thanks, Walt.
Poor guy. Poor guy.
He probably didn't even get like a lightning lane for that ride.
Calm down, Rover. I was only kidding.
Okay, how about number 6, Sean?
Number 6, we have Tower of Terror, Hollywood Studios' former, I think, premier attraction. I think this is a ride that the pre-show is, it's pretty perfect for what it needs to be. really no notes on improving it, but it's short, it's sweet, it sets you up, and then it shoots you right back into another queue. So hard to put it, even though it's well themed. It's the old Twilight Zone, the guy that does the narration, it's perfect for what it needs to be, but I think it's just a little too short for to shoot it up on this list.
Yeah, I think because this is, you know, we're comparing a ride from 1995 to rides that came out in 2022.
And I think just making a clear distinction, because we've already done an episode of queues, to not factor in how great the queue is in terms
of how cast members that work the
pre-show
line are.
Is. Yeah. It's a, this is specifically the moment where you're in the library watching the video. And yeah. Then look, you look up and you see...
It's like a television, it's old-style television up there. And in the windows, it progressively gets darker out as the story goes, and it starts raining and storming.
Yeah, there's a storm.
And then that one moment where he's like in the Twilight Zone, and it's like you get surround sound.
The thunder and lightning.
The thunder, but it's almost like 3D sound.
Yeah,
that it turns
it goes
into.
Pitch, and it goes like pitch black, yeah. And then the door opens. Again, it's really, really great and really cool and iconic. Great job casting the Rod Sterling sound alike, because you would think that this was just audio pulled from an episode of The Twilight Zone, mm-hmm. and it's not. It's a unique story that is just in this world. Like, they almost just, like, made an extra episode of The Twilight Zone that happens to be this ride.
Well, and it's also another one of, like, if you didn't have... Well, I guess if you didn't have this pre-show... You would like really not have any idea of what's going on the ride. Like this is definitely necessary.
Right.
The pre-show specifically sets up the elevator. That the family went missing in.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yes. And then we're gonna go ride the same elevator right now.
Yeah.
What could go wrong?
No, nothing can go wrong. Nothing. We're gonna have a good time.
So our number five, moving on along to number five, is Smuggler's Run. So, actually, I'm gonna put this off on one of you guys, because I think you guys know this one a little bit better. I don't really, other than Hondo, I don't really remember what else is this.
What else is it? It's Hondo.
It is Hondo? Okay. I kind of remember you guys saying there was a video about.
Yeah, well, you wait on, you go through the hangar, and you go around, like, the ship's bay, and you go up the ramp, and there's all the droids working on the ship, and then you go into the pre-show video is Hondo explaining what he's doing. You got to go and get the I'm missing
coaxium.
The coaxium, and it's just it's really fun. It's a new character.
Okay.
It introduces some fun new droids. They come out of the sides, and you see Chewbacca. Then you, in my opinion, I think part of the pre-show is when you go into the Millennium Falcon,
because that preloading area.
Yeah, because I don't think it's necessarily a queue, because they're letting in specific numbers of groups. Like you're not waiting in line anymore. Mm-hmm. You're in there. You're freely walking around. You're sitting at the chess table. You're taking your pictures, and then they're just assigning you as you come in. You know what you're going to be. You're going to be the gunner. You're going to be the maintenance. You're going to be whatever. And
you're not
really waiting in line anymore. I feel like the pre-show starts at the video and continues through until you're into the cockpit riding the ride. And that's what elevates it, I think, for me.
So it is a video.
There is a video.
There is a video, but there's also one of the most advanced animatronics
that Disney has ever made. Yeah.
It's incredible. And I think if the whole experience was you wait online for 15 minutes and then you watch that animatronic... talk for like 4 minutes, I think that's worth it.
For 15 like, minutes. Yeah.
15 minutes.
Yeah.
15 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I got to give Disney credit for making such an advanced animatronic for Hondo, because he is a level D character from Rebels.
I think they retconned him into Rebels, right?
No. Rebels is old.
Okay.
He was a character already from Rebels and from Clone Wars.
Okay.
But to make a whole ride
basically out of his character.
Yeah.
That was like a deep cut, right?
A little
bit of a thank you to the hardcore, you know, Clone Wars fans, right?
And because for a while, that was the only ride that was open in Galaxy's Edge.
How disappointing that must have been to experience Galaxy's Edge
and only be able to ride Smuggler's. That was when we did the Disneyland. That was how it worked. We did Rise of Resistance wasn't open.
Oh.
We got all through Galaxy's Edge, and the only thing... But it was really cool the first time you see the Millennium Falcon, the first time you go on the ride, it was awesome. But
yeah,
thinking back what it is now.
So, and it's Hondo. Keep on forgetting that.
Yeah,
Hondo, I think I was saying Rondo.
Hondo.
You're thinking of a Ronto rap.
Yeah. Oh, God. I want a Ronto rap right now.
Oh, that sounds great. Hondo Onaka.
Yeah.
We did it! Let's eat!
Okay, so let's move on to number four. I think this is kind of the OG. Is this the very first pre-show Disney ever did?
Yeah, you know, and I think because it's not a video, right? And so in my introduction, you know, I talked about how it was the land, it was the queue that would set up the story before they had videos to be pre-show videos, right?
Well, yeah, because this was before, like, something like a VHS.
Everything is a video now.
Yeah, everything is a video
now. But they had to tell a story on this ride without showing you a screen, without showing you a movie, without showing you...
Yeah,
a moving picture.
So they did it with audio, and they did it with the room transforming itself.
Yes,
right. So we are, of course, talking about the Haunted Mansion.
Probably should mention that. Yes.
Well, we were getting there. We were building.
It was building.
The pre-show. Yeah. We were building.
This was the pre-show to number four. The Ghost Host is so cool. The paintings as the room is stretching is so much fun. That scream, and then you get to see you look up and there's that, like, there's a visual of, like, is it like a noose or something up there?
So someone's definitely hanging themselves. That's the other thing, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, when I was a kid, I had no idea what that was.
Right, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You're not really supposed to know that.
But you know it's spooky.
Yep. And you know something's falling.
You know it's spooky, and you know... The Ghost Host is showing us this mansion.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's really cool. And what it was really, it comes from a necessity for the Disneyland version of the ride. So the stretching room in the Disneyland version of the ride
goes down.
It is, yes, it is an elevator with an open top.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually physically taking you lower down into where the ride starts.
Right.
And don't you have to walk under the berm then?
Yes. So it's to get you lower to go under the berm and into the show building.
Right. Yeah.
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 And it was such a great trick. And it painted the picture of the story so well that when they went to go put it in Disney World, they had to put the stretching room back in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had
to
leave it. They didn't need to do that.
Yeah. But
the stretching room in Disney World, the room is stretching upwards.
Yeah.
But in Disneyland, it looks like the room is stretching upward, but you're actually going down an elevator.
Right.
Down. So that is part of Imagineering magic, and it's so cool that it was so successful that they had to put it in the Disney World version.
And talk about quotability. Right?
Like, well, this. I was going to say that's one of the things I think I actually like the least about this ride is that people feel the need to, like, recite along.
Yeah.
I've definitely mentioned this in the queue version of episode of this, is that it's, while it's so quotable, I think that's one of its flaws, is that the fans feel the need to stand there in the room and recite the entire.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
The entire pre-dialogue, and it's just like...
It's a little bit of a toxic fan base, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. A great thing with a bad fan base.
That's never happened before.
Yeah.
He says, being an avid fan of Disney World, the Yankees.
Yeah, I was going to say the Yankees.
But your cadaverous power betrays an aura of foreboding. Like, that's just so, like, creepy.
They don't don't make words like that anymore.
No, they did. They don't.
It's definitely the ride with the most, like, cult fandom.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Okay, Sean, why don't you take us to number three?
Number three, we are going for the first time to Epcot, and we have Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind.
A newie but goodie.
The newest ride on this list, am I right there? Did this come out before?
Oh, yeah.
Number two?
Yep.
Okay. No, yeah. So
no, you mean after. It came after. Right.
It's the newest.
The newest ride on this list.
This is the newest ride on the list because it came out in 2022.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, I guess it would be the... What else would it be? Oh, Tron. But Tron sticks. that's a terrible cue.
Bad cue. Not a great ride.
Mediocre ride.
Yeah, mediocre
ride.
Not, yeah, we can do that on a different day, but
it's a one trick pony.
The only trick Tron has is riding it at night.
Yeah.
It's really cool if you ride at night.
Yeah.
But then once you go back inside, it doesn't matter what time of the day you're riding it. But if you can ride it at night, you go over that first curve there, and just the ride vehicle, just the most uncomfortable thing I've ever been in.
Yeah, I know. It sounds cool, looks cool. And like when
it looks cool when it goes by.
Yeah. And when you're going up, you know, outside and you put your hands up, like then you're like, oh, this is cool. But then what after that? Yeah,
I'm more comfortable in the Superman Six Flags seat that just turns you on your stomach to make it feel like you're flying. But yeah,
I find it to be a very comfortable seat with that soft vest and then that. Yeah.
Yeah. Tron ride vehicle was not comfortable on the legs and thighs that have been walking around all day.
Yeah, yeah,
not great. But
well, especially you got some big thighs there. You got like
tree long trunks. Legs.
Yeah,
tree trunks there.
We don't have to go there. But. Anyway,
So Guardians of the Galaxy.
Where were we?
Phew, boy, hottest 4th of July we've had in years.
Guardians of the Galaxy. This is a ride. It's like they pull out all the tricks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got disappearing items. The walls move. The room shakes. It's got all of the cool stuff that you want in a pre-show. It tells the story really well.
It's funny.
It's funny. It's got great guest actors, guest voices.
Iconic. Yeah. Guest actors. Yeah. We've got Terry Crews and Glenn Close.
It's quotable, even though it's only been around for like 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they did a really good job with that. And this is another ride where you need this for the story.
Oh, yeah, you need to know what the story is before you get on the ride, for sure.
I mean, it literally takes you to space, right? In the pre-show.
That is very cool. That's like...
And it's funny that Terry Crews, he's putting on a clinic of how much acting he can do without taking off his shirt.
Yeah, no, when you're transported up into the ship, like that's a very cool effect, and I'm always surprised every time it works. And I'm like, oh, it worked again. This is great. And also Terry Crews is like, you made it.
I knew you would.
No, That's from Dinosaur.
You made it. I knew you would, but that's from the ride itself, not from the pre-show.
Right. That Guardians of the Galaxy, really, really good one.
Yeah, I think the only thing that keeps it from being higher, which is funny, like it's number 3. It's outstanding. I think the only thing that keeps it from being higher is that it's maybe
it relies a little heavily on screens and videos.
Yeah, it just doesn't quite have the same like heart that the top two have. It doesn't have that, like, you know, it's got magic and it does really cool magic tricks, but it doesn't feel like Disney magic. It feels like technology magic.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Like it does make you think that's like a hologram, right?
And it does that cool trick with the thing that gets stolen.
Yeah.
It disappears in a cool way. It happens and you're like, how do they do that? Like, you're just thinking about how do they pull that off?
Yeah.
So cool. Like you said, you start in a room and the room changes and all of a sudden you're in space and the room shakes.
Yeah.
And vibrates in a way that I don't think a room's supposed to.
yeah.
And they pull off so many cool tricks. But something about it just feels very techie and not like super Disney.
Yeah, yeah, I get that. And sometimes, like the first time I was in there, it was a little hard to follow what was going on, right?
Because like, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces here, right? Like, you are going up to the spaceship, okay? Then there's this thing that I was just introduced to. I don't even know that that's the thing there, right?
Like that's the story. Is that there's a little thing on the left on the side of the build on the side of it that gets stolen, and that's why you have to go.
But I didn't know what that was,
right?
I
and you can easily just not even look at that,
right? Exactly,
because there's so much going on. Yeah. If you don't know to look over to the left there, you might miss it.
Yeah. What is it? The quantum generator? Quantum generator. I think that's
the cosmic generator.
Cosmic generator.
It's
called
the
cosmic
rewind. It's the name of the ride.
Yeah.
Cosmic rewind, cosmic generator.
Okay. So the cosmic generator, you don't know it's that little guy. Yeah.
We took the scenic ride. We got there. Cosmic generator.
All right. I think we're ready for number two. So number two, we have Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. And that's going to be with our good friend Goofy.
I'm a known Goofy guy.
You are a known Goofy guy. This might play into why it's so high on the list.
Yeah, maybe I put a little heavy hand on putting this up higher because I'm a Goofy guy.
I like that this is, well, first of all, you have Mickey and Minnie in it, right? And Pluto, and they're going on a picnic.
And what could possibly go wrong?
Right. And it's nice that it's a cartoon and, you know, it's really cool in that sense, but then something does go wrong, obviously, in all the shorts they go wrong. And there's an explosion, and you get invited into
the cartoon.
The cartoon, yeah.
There's interaction between the cast member and Goofy. So Goofy's on screen. He's talking to the cast member. I always think that's a really fun thing to do. When the explosion happens, the screen pops out and explodes, and all this smoke comes out, and it's a fun little trick where the door is open. And you walk in, and in that next room, it's all cartoony. And you go from reality into the cartoon as the pre-show ends. It's really cool. Again, and this is like all Disney magic as opposed to Guardians of the Galaxy. Like everything they do, they're simpler tricks than what Guardians is doing, but it all feels so Disney.
Yeah.
And you get that like nostalgia for something that's only 4 years old.
Right. It can't be because of the fact that it's Mickey and Minnie's because, I mean, for us, that cartoon style isn't our nostalgia, right?
Unless we're not nostalgic for Russ Hanneman, who is he voices that Mickey.
Oh, yeah.
The actor who plays Russ Hanneman on Silicon Valley is Mickey Mouse.
Oh, man.
How crazy is that?
I would like to hear a side-by-side.
These are not the doors of a billionaire, Richard.
Really great ride. Really great pre-show. So much fun. You know, there's no height requirement on it. So even you get to see little kids experience this, and it's like so magical so fast.
Original song?
Oh, great song.
Yeah.
Oh, God, the song, yeah.
Nothing can stop us now.
Ba, 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 ba. Love to edit the song in and
take me out.
Yeah.
No, we just put it after me.
Well, there's not going to be. There won't be a copyright strike if Shopee sings it.
There won't be listeners if Shopee sings it.
All right. So, JJ, why don't you take us to number one?
Actually, before we get to number one, I would like to bring up a few of these rides that maybe just missed a cut.
Mm, okay.
First on the list, we did allude to it briefly, Dinosaur. Dinosaur is a really fun pre-show. Dr. Seeker is unhinged. Claire Huxtable is in it. A really fun, like, pseudo-science-y kind of thing that sets the story up of, oh, we're going to go back to in time to when the dinosaurs lived, but we're not just going to go back in time to where the dinosaurs lived. We're going to go back, like, to right before the world ends.
Yeah.
Which, what could possibly go wrong?
This also just, Dinosaur just seems so 90s, right? Like, is there anything more 90s than this video?
The video is so, like, it's so 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, but that's part of its charm, right?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And like, the whole idea of, I guess Guardians does this too, where, like, there's a problem and only you can solve it. You know what I mean? And, like, that's a very, you know, 90s Disney thing. I think that they brought it back for Guardians, but
I think that's just a ride thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, you know.
Because even in Universal, on like the Transformers ride.
Right.
It's the same thing. It's like, you got to get the whatever cube.
Or like, you got to get Coaxium, right?
Right.
Or...
yeah, you're the one driving the ship.
Right. Right.
Hondo Onaka knows how to drive the ship, but we have to. The first time, we've never, we just met him, but we're going to be the ones that drive the ship.
Right. And Chewie, at the end of the ride, Chewie can guide you in. Why couldn't he guide us the whole time? So, Sean, how about another honorable mention?
This one is one of my favorites. We're going back to Epcot, and this one is Soarin'. Soarin', whether it's around the world or Soarin' over California, it's the same. It's the same.
Same video, pre-show.
Same pre-show. It's so simple. It's so basic, but it's so hilarious and quotable and memorable. And Patrick Warburton is just maybe the best guest that has done a video for a pre-show in Disney.
It's a masterclass on what plays well at a theme park,
and what they just did at D23, bringing it back, was absolutely perfect.
It was
the same guy with the Mickey ears, so perfect.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and the only reason why it missed a cut is maybe, you know, it really is just like some in-flight safety video.
Yeah, it's just all about safety. That's really it.
Yeah.
It's got the humor. It's got the one-liners, but I mean, there's obviously so many better.
Yeah, and you're just watching options. A little screen. It's not even like you're in an immersive space like a lot of these other ones are.
Right. And then finally, our last honorable mention was Muppet Vision 3D, which is a great pre-show. I got to admit, I usually miss half of it because they'll start the pre-show before it's even filled up, you know.
Right.
And so I get in there and I'm like, what's going on?
You're halfway through the pre-show when you're walking in because, you know, the theater isn't really filling up like crazy, so they'll just let you in during the pre-show. And again, that pre-show is another one where you're just in a holding area that's not crazy themed, and you're watching a TV screen.
Like on tube TVs. Like TVs that use tubes.
Yeah. That's part of its charm, though.
Yeah. Rizzo will walk between the TVs.
Like, yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, he pretends to be Mickey Mouse.
He does pretend to be Mickey Mouse. Muppet humor plays really well in the theme parks, and I hope it never changes.
Yeah.
And right. It never will, because no other ride is going to replace that area of the park.
And you heard it here first.
Breaking news. Sean Murphy can confirm. So our number one, let's head to our number one pre-show. JJ, take us there.
Okay. The number one pre-show is really more like the number one pre-shows, plural, and it's The Rise of the Resistance. You could take any of those three pre-shows that happened during this ride, and you could say that that's the best pre-show in all of Walt Disney World. Mm. And it's got three, and they're all fantastic.
Yeah.
You got hologram Rey and a BB-8 animatronic in the first scene. Then you get put on a spaceship, but still not the ride somehow. And you've got an animatronic Beck, and you're on this transport ship, and it gets pulled in. You're like actually moving in a pre-show, which doesn't ever happen.
And the videos are different if you're looking backwards or if you're looking forward, because you're, you know, you're looking outside
you're in
the window of the ship.
Being transported.
Yeah.
And then they pull you into that like holding cell pit thing. And there's another pre-show, and there's a cool escape thing where they like laser blast you out of the prison cell. And there's a scene with you get to watch Kylo Ren, and he like uses your force, and the room shakes, and it's.
I forgot about that part.
Lot of good, also all of the tricks. A lot of good, even in the pre-show rooms, a lot of good cast member interaction.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the real cast from Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't hire sound-alikes or, you know, they didn't like purposely do, no, this is the cast of Star Wars. These are your friends. This is Rey and BB-8, the real, you know, it's the real Rey. They hired Daisy Ridley to do this. They hired John Boyega. They hired, you know, what's Poe's name?
Oscar Isaac.
They hired Oscar Isaac. You know, like, that says a lot about how they feel about the ride.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows and it pays off and sets the story of the ride. I mean, you talk about...
Yeah, I mean, this show is you're 15 minutes into the pre-show before you even start the ride.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's multiple pre-shows that tell multiple layers of story that show how you could have went from being just a resistance sympathizer to a prisoner of war.
Yeah.
Like, it's so good. So good.
Yeah. I think the best ride in Disney World has the best pre-shows of all the rides.
I think so, too. I think if you look at the top... If you look at the top three of our list and then mirror that to what I think the top, you know, three or five rides are, I think it's maybe the same.
Yeah.
And a lot, and some of the other ones on this list are some of my very favorite rides.
Well, and I also like that our top three are three of the newer rides. Like, so this is a good way to show that Disney is taking the aspect of storytelling seriously, and you can tell that by their commitment to pre-shows and how good they are.
No, definitely. I think that's it's commendable that they're not just like phoning it in for cash grab. They know how important it is for the rides to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, those are our top eight pre-shows. We have number eight as Rock and Roller Coaster, number seven as Flight of Passage, number six, Tower of Terror, number five, Smuggler's Run, number four, The Haunted Mansion, number three, Guardians of the Galaxy, number two, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, and number one, no surprise here, Rise of the Resistance.
And if you have any problems,
email Sean.
Finally utilize our email address.
Or leave a comment on the Instagram post.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. If we missed one? I don't think we did. I think we did a good job on this one.
I think that was a very good job.
I also will defend it when we have to make our corrections.
Yeah. Well, just like the Q's had a lot of corrections or a lot of feedback, I bet you this one has a lot of feedback too.
I'm looking forward to it. I want to have that discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, guys, you got time for a game?
No, gotta go.
8:30 on a Tuesday? No. I gotta get going.
Okay, well then, Sean, why don't you take us home?
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Reedy Geeks Podcast. Like, rate, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Check out all our socials at Reedy Geeks. Any questions, comments, concerns, future topic ideas, and for some reason, still nickname suggestions, reach out to us at reedygeeks@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.
You are breaking union rules, our insurance doesn't cover any of this, and you are potentially infringing on Warner Brothers' intellectual property. Shut this down.
I want a different answer.
This week's Honest Send-Off comes courtesy of Liz from New York.
If you have an Honest Send-Off that you want played at the end of one of our episodes, please submit an audio clip to us via our email address, reedygeeks@gmail.com. Reedy Geeks, a Walt Disney World podcast, is hosted and executive produced by Andrew Schoppe, Sean Murphy, and JJ Hefner. Music and audio engineering by JJ Hefner. Bon voyage!